Beer me.
What's that?
Hand me that water. I always say beer me. Gets a laugh like a quarter of the time. Check out this sunshine, man. Global warming, right? Today was supposed to be really cold, I bet.
What about music? Any music?
Yeah. I should have said so. Give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Give me the beat, boys, and free my little soul.
I was thinking more like a CD or a CD.
Your call, dude.
TBTL.
They had been posting their stuff out on the internet, and apparently they'd been met with virtually nothing but ridicule.
I don't think I can do this.
You can do anything I want you to do. Don't worry about it. The audience will be completely drunk. And if we're not perfect, they'll take it out on us. But that's why you're going to be perfect. You have to be perfect.
What kind of rap do you do? Are you like sort of sing-songing a rap like Bone Thugs and Harmony? Or are you more like street like Will Smith?
Are you ready?
Ready for what?
TBTL!
Stinky!
Well, all right. Hello, good morning, and welcome to a Tuesday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
It's your lucky day. You just found a USB flash drive in the parking lot.
Coming to you from beautiful Fortuna, California.
California got sunshine.
Not today, apparently. Checking it at a balmy 50 degrees, rainy, cloudy, but still a lovely place to be here in the beautiful Northern California area. We are also about 2 miles from Redwood Memorial Hospital, where your guy, old LB, was actually born. I'm only now learning from our kind host, Adam, here in Fortuna, that locally it's known as Deadwood, because it's maybe not the place to go. What I want to say is I'm a survivor. I somehow survived being born at Redwood Memorial Hospital here in Fortuna and have made my way back here 40 years later to ask you all to support this podcast.
That cash could really get me out of a couple of jams.
As part of TBTLathon 12, contentless delivery. We got off to a little bit of a slow start today. We had some crazy technical stuff that has apparently been worked out. We didn't realize what a miracle it was yesterday that we even stayed on the air, as it were, that we were able to be broadcasting on YouTube, because apparently I was playing music that YouTube was flagging and was threatening to take us off the air yesterday.
It's literally illegal.
So today, the only music we can play is a Bad to the Bone instrumental version that I once found somewhere in the dark corners of the internet. That's the only music that we can legally play that YouTube will not ban us. We are literally are on strike one with YouTube this week. So anyway, hopefully we will stay on the air and be able to get through episode 3430 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
I realize in all of the hoopla getting the show set up, I didn't even bring my bell, so I'll be working with my little sound machine here. In a story that's very relevant to the interests of the TBTL listeners and us, you know, we were some of the first people. We were one of the first major American radio shows to obsess over the Charlie That Hurt, You Bit My Finger kid. Remember this kid?
Charlie, that really hurt.
Well, that video that I went onto YouTube last night and grabbed the audio from, that video will be taken down from YouTube very soon, because it has been sold as a non-fungible token for $760,000. So if you want to go watch that video of that British kid getting his finger bit by his brother, do it now, because someone else owns it, and soon it will not be out there for us, the public, to enjoy. By the way, I downloaded the whole audio file, so I plan to just, because I'm not in enough trouble with YouTube right now, I plan to just play that entire file indiscriminately for as long as I can. Also, we have an update in one of the greatest TBTL mysteries of our time, of course.
Previously on Serial.
The theft of our signs that we purchased for this van, this 1993 Mitsubishi Delica that we've been driving from Oregon to California. I have talked to Colby, the manager at the Holiday Inn in Corvallis, Oregon. I've had her review the security footage, and we have a bit of an update. Also, this is the greater Eureka, Fortuna, Arcata kind of part of the world. This is where I am from originally, and I went on a jog this morning around Eureka to some spots that I used to go to when I was very little with my mom, and I have to say, it was a surprisingly emotional jog.
What makes people all over America break down and cry like this?
And not just because I was very close to having a bathroom incident, but that wasn't helping. Anyway, we'll talk about all of that and so much more, and we'll do it with this guy. He is the longest-running Cobro of the show. He may be best known for his depictions of the tall ships.
Now we're done being engineer Andy. Now it's time to be host Andy.
Well, Cobro Andy with a possibility of becoming co-host Andy. He is Andrew Walsh. He's joining you right now from a couple of feet to my right here in Fortuna, California. How you doing, my friend?
Pretty good. I thought we decided yesterday that I am host in the number one chair, but I'm giving you honorary duties to start the show. I thought that's the org chart. Did I misunderstand that?
You know what? Whatever you need right now so that your internal, you know, kind of motor can get to a good place, because, my friend, you were really, really running around trying to get this show onto YouTube.
I was going to say you just saw the worst of me, but actually that's not true. You saw me after the signs got stolen off our van.
That wasn't
a good me either. Although I didn't punch a wall or anything.
No, I mean, you only have one good hand left,
yeah, right.
So you don't need to be punching walls. No, it wasn't. You know what you did, Andrew, was you sprang into action in a way. I mean, you know how like sometimes a mom can lift a car off of her child because she has superhuman strength. You develop superhuman speed because
you had
to run back and forth to where this camera is, because the camera, which is actually your phone, again, we need the donations. This whole thing is being filmed on Andrew's actual cell phone, which might have been part of the problem.
I'm not joking. If the feed suddenly goes dead, it might be that I ran out of data. Like, I'm sure we'll be fine, but literally,
please donate to the show so Andrew can get unlimited data on his phone. Andrew was running to where the camera is and checking things, and then running back here to the audio board and plugging things in, and then running back. My friend, I, you know, went on what was for me an accidentally long jog because I got lost. You probably covered, I would say, about 7 miles here at Adam and Carrie's house.
I think I did this yesterday. We talked too much about my technical woes leading into the show. I'm on the YouTube page now. It seems that people are listening and interacting, and everything seems to be fine.
America is seeing this and hearing this. That's the important thing.
I'll try to make this quick, but there is sort of an irony here. Yesterday was our very first setup like this, and of course we were in Cheryl's driveway in Corvallis, and so there were so many unknowns yesterday as we got there, and it took us a while to get set up, and there was kind of an emergency situation with, I think it was Wi-Fi and some other things yesterday that made it look like we might be a little bit late in starting this feed, but we ended up pulling it off right at the last minute. Today, I totally jinxed it, because we got here a little bit later than planned, but the setup went so well because we already knew exactly what we were dealing with, right? Yeah. So we got this thing set up, and then I looked down and I'm like, oh, we still have 20 minutes to set up the audio. And today,
let's drink
some delicious
hazelnut, and what's the other thing, Adam, you put in the coffee? Let's some delicious hazelnut regular coffee mix that Adam handcrafted for us. We were just like in chill mode. I even said to him, like, yeah, we're a lot calmer than yesterday because everything's going well.
And we were. And I actually just misspoke there. I said, okay, we had all the audio set up. And then it was like, okay, now we have 20 minutes to set up the video, which we've already done this once yesterday. I know what we're dealing with here. And then suddenly, just there were all these malfunctions that still to this moment do not make sense. I believe that the feed is okay, but the irony is I don't know how it's fixed right now. The way it is fixed right now is we have a little piece of equipment that is turned off, and that doesn't make sense to
it's
me.
It's called
Luke.
Our brains.
How is it that we have a piece of equipment that only works when it's turned off, and when I turn it on, everything goes haywire? I don't understand it. I accept it, and I'm ready to move on, but I just needed to share that with you. This is a conundrum.
Yeah. Can I say something and I mean this with absolute peace and love, because what you're doing here from a technical standpoint, Andrew, is really incredible to me, and we would be lost without you. But maybe tomorrow, when we're in Sacramento, could we try to address the video stuff as early in the process as makes sense? Because what I've noted is yesterday and today, the real technical issue is getting this thing out to YouTube.
Yes,
both days, but that's been what really created the tension.
But the issue is the audio that is going into the phone, and we can't set up the... We have to set up the audio before
we can
send it to the phone.
So we have the audio gear on one side of the river,
yes,
and the
exactly.
video gear, and a bag of feed.
Right. So to answer your question, no. I mean, there's no way to, you know, we can't set up the video without having audio feeding.
Okay, Megan in Sacramento will be at your house at 7 a.m.
Exactly.
Get ready. Actually, that is what's going to... Now,
yeah,
listen,
we need,
let
we,
me also
yeah,
say...
Yeah, exactly. We also got here, like, way late.
That was my fault. That was my fault because of this... My jog of destiny, Andrew, and the fact that you would resent me for that really hurts. Okay? I've been doing the Club for Eagle Soaring with the other 10s on Facebook this week. Which has been really fun. It's been awesome to see what everybody's been getting up to. And if you're somebody that's able to get out there and exercise, or again, I wrote in the initial post, if staring into the middle distance for you is a form of exercise, post that. Like whatever your body's capable of. It's been fun to post stuff in there. But man, this morning I got up and I have to tell you, I was not feeling super duper inspired by the weather in Eureka. It was sideways raining at like 6 a.m. today. It was just kind of, I don't know, just it was grimy and slimy and kind of clammy out there. And
we were like in the hotel district, which isn't, you know, the nicest part of town. It was like, I think the day before on Monday you woke up and you had a river you could run down, right? And it was a little bit more scenic in that way.
Yeah, but I you know, because I'm trying to keep this agreement with the listeners that we're all going to try to do our best to get out there and shake a leg, I was like, well, I got to do it. And so I thought, well, I'll try to jog and maybe see some of the sights from when I was a kid. I mean, we moved out of Eureka when I was probably like 5 or something. So we're not talking about a huge part of my life, but a part that sort of looms large. And weirdly, I have memories of being like 2 years old. I have two very vivid memories of being a kid in Eureka. One was going to this pizza shop called Tommaso's Pizza with my mom, and then going and getting an apple juice from the machine that was down on the water right near Tommaso's. So I jogged by that today. It's not at Tommaso's anymore. It's some other restaurant. And then I also remember being chased by dogs while I was in the kids' seat on my mom's bike. My mom had this old green Schwinn, and she and a kid, you know, child seat on the back. And this was before my mom and dad got married, and she would just ride all over Eureka. Just miles and miles and miles with me in the back. And sometimes we got chased by dogs, which makes a real impression on your 2-year-old brain, apparently. But it was a weird adventure for me because I got out there, it was cold, it was rainy, and then, I don't know, maybe a half a mile in, my stomach started feeling not great. I'm not sure what Olympic marathoners, like what their pre-race diet is, but I wonder, I'm starting to think it might not be a gallon of queso from the Applebee's in Eureka.
You know what? And I know that this is outside my expertise too, but I think they're more Chili's people.
Ah, okay.
You went to Applebee's?
Sure.
See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's
Don't act thing. Like you weren't there. You went to Applebee's. You were sitting right next to
hey,
me
man,
eating
I have
a steak.
No regerts, actually.
Yeah. Well, I have some regerts.
My grandfather used to order steaks at Applebee's and then complain that they weren't very good steaks, which is just sort of like, yeah, you ordered a steak from Applebee's, Gramps. He's no longer with us. I can talk shit.
Yeah.
The steak actually was good.
Yeah, it looked good.
I thought my grandfather had too high of expectations.
See, the thing is, you and I went to an Applebee's on a previous TBTL-a-thon. We had been hitchhiking through Missouri, and the only place that was anywhere near the Munger Moss Motel still serving food. By the way, think about this weird synchronicity. When we were in Missouri at the Munger Moss, we came out and we across the street was a bowling alley. And we went to the bowling alley and they weren't serving food anymore, which is how we ended up at the Applebee's. Flash forward to May 24th, 2021, Eureka, California. We walk out of our hotel along a very busy kind of like highway. And the first place we went into was a bowling alley. which had stopped serving food or was not going to be serving food within 5 minutes, and then we continued on to the Applebee's.
I forgot about the bowling alley connection.
Isn't that crazy?
I guess by the time you do this 12 times, the TBTL-a-thon eventually...
Turns out Applebee's is the main restaurant in a lot of sort of small American
right.
cities.
But to be in like kind of a similar kind of vibe of an area, and then to realize all of the restaurants are closed, and then to stop at a bowling alley first, and then get rejected and end up at an Applebee's, we really just recreated that. We did it. We're out of content.
Yes, that's it. Well, I was chasing the dragon, though, because that meal that we had in Missouri was so good. It's like lived in my head. Like, you know what, man? In a pinch, Applebee's, right? So I was excited to go there. But the difference is I don't eat meat now. Back then I did. So I was trying to order literally the same thing, this sampler that is 3,000 calories. That is more than a daily amount of calories that I need. But...
It was nighttime.
That's how you
get around it.
God can't see you at night.
Daily calories are different than nightly calories.
So anyway, I asked the person there, can I order it but minus the meat? And she said, no substitutions. She goes, because appetizers are half off. And I was like, well, you just messed up because I'm going to order every appetizer on the menu now that I know they're half off, at least everything that doesn't have meat in it. So I did. I just ordered like a ridiculous amount of food, and I'm just like, anyway, a lot of it was this very spicy queso, which was yummy, but wasn't doing me any favors on this jog. My point being, I almost quit probably 3 times on this run because my stomach was not feeling great, it was raining, and I was getting lost. I was trying to find these, like, special places in my childhood, and I was running with my phone, and it just kept, like... I kept going down the wrong street, or like the mapping software would just be kind of like not updating.
Yeah, mine does that sometimes. Out of curiosity, you can't use your Apple Watch for that. I'm taking this to a very boring place. What Apple products do you use on your jogs? But you can't use your, like, there's no map on your watch or something.
You know, there might be. I use the watch tells me how far I ran and what my pace was.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a way to integrate the mapping into it. But for these eagle soaring things, I have to bring my phone because I try to take a picture on the run mm-hmm. of something interesting. What it ended up being today was, right as I was about to give up, I sort of come around this corner and I see this park. And this park is very, like, familiar to me. And I realize it's this park called Sequoia Park, which I, when I was a little kid, lived across the street from, in this house on S Street in Eureka. And then I look over and there's the house.
Wow.
And I just got, like, totally emotional. Part of it was because I was listening to this band called Blind Pilot, which has, like, really beautiful, really kind of, like, music that always puts me in my feelings no matter what. But there was just something about... This is also the house where... So this is where me and my mom lived. This was, like, a communal house associated with this church. It's also where my dad proposed to my mom. And by proposed, I mean said, I would eat your burned grilled cheese for the rest of my life, which is not a euphemism. Get your mind out of the gutter.
You people are filthy.
No, my mom, like, made some grilled cheese for my dad. Like, they weren't, like, they were very Christian-y people. They had, like, never even held hands, right? It was, like, very chaste. But she made some grilled cheese sandwiches. She burned them. And then my dad said something to the effect of, these are great. I would eat these for the rest of my life. And that was his proposal.
That's really sweet. By the way, can we name the show Chased by Dogs?
Sure. Let's put it down as an early possibility. But so this house on S Street has all this kind of, I don't know, it's just... I don't think I've looked at it since I was 5.
How different is it?
Well, it's a Victorian house. It was like a lot of people lived there, right? Because, again, it was communal housing. So it's pretty big. And it's in okay shape. But I just was like, it just really, I don't know why it hit me. Because it's, again, I don't have that house in particular. I don't have any really strong memories around. But what I do remember is that park across the street. Remember when we were driving here and we were going through Redwoods National Forest? And I said, I have this feeling that when I lived in this house in Eureka, I lived across the street from Redwoods National Park. And I was like, that makes no sense. Well, it's because it's actually called Sequoia Park. It's just a beautiful park in Eureka. But here's the thing. There is somewhere in this area that tree that you can drive through or used to be able to drive through.
Yeah, I remember hearing of that. Yeah, it's famous, right?
Yeah, and I like my like childhood Mandela effect memory was that we lived across the street from the park where that tree was, right? Well, you know what it was? There is a huge tree that they built a slide and like a kid's play thing into.
What?
So my little 2-year-old
Keebler
brain,
elves.
It was serious elf time. So my little 2-year-old brain or whatever, 4-year-old brain, remembered this play structure built into this huge redwood as something is in a tree that's not really normally like, and it's like, it's very cool how they did it. And I was like, I had combined that with that tree I'd seen pictures of the people could drive through.
Wow.
So mystery solved.
So, okay, so you did get to see the house. It did make you emotional.
Yes.
I that's not surprising to me. And not the, because I would think I might be emotional too. I don't have that experience in my life where, like, a place that I lived just for the first few years of my life. You know what I mean? The first house I had, I was there until I think I was 13 or 14. But, you know, so that's a little different experience. But sure, I get emotional on the, you know, every 5 years when I drive past that place or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think it's because it looms very large in the lore of our family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your mom and dad talk about it a lot. Again, it's kind of where they met. I think my mom lived there and my dad was like the, worked for the church kind of managing some of these houses, trying to make sure everything was okay, which is how they came in contact. I believe. But also, some of the tears were because I was still very close to shitting my pants. No, I'm not even joking.
Some of the sweat was because of that as well.
Because so then I have this whole moment. I'm listening to this music. I'm kind of like getting emotional. And then I look down at my phone and I realize I'm like, well, the phone said I was 54 minutes from our hotel. That would be a slow walk.
Mm.
But I'm still like a half hour from our hotel if I run fast. By my standards, and it's like 7:15. So, like, you and I were supposed to leave at 7:45 a.m. It's 7:15. I'm best case scenario a half hour run from our hotel, and also am clenching my bunghole the entire run back, but I can't not run as fast as I can because then I will make us even later, and then we'll have even more problems with the YouTube feed.
The irony is I missed my morning constitutional because I was in the lobby waiting for you.
Oh, wow.
I'm
well,
serious.
We all made some gave all and all gave some.
I was like, okay, I'm in my privacy of my hotel room, but I know we're on a really tight schedule today. It's 7:45. I told Luke I'd be downstairs. So I go downstairs and I wait and I'm like, should have gone to the bathroom. I'm fine. It's not
have
an emergency situation. But I know that the one time, though, that I do that, then you're going to wait for me and
but,
then I'm going to feel
see,
bad
about
it.
But see, the good news is you shouldn't feel bad about that. You have built up so much in the bank of waiting, like you've waited for me on so, like some every once in a blue moon when we're like in normal show mode and we're connecting up on our little systems, maybe you're get there a little after me. Like it never bothers me in the slightest because I have made, I've left you on red so many times in our professional relationship that I, like you have an almost unlimited number of being late to things before I can be annoyed.
I said that, you know, it wasn't that bad, by the way. It was more of a kind of a notion like, okay, here I am. I'm in my hotel room. Should I take advantage of this privacy or not? And then I'm like, nah, I'm fine. And then I went downstairs. I'm like, probably should have just taken the 25 minutes it takes me to go to the bathroom.
Do you need to use, Adam and Carrie's bathroom?
No,
they already very generously offered access.
I wish I had not brought it up. By the way, I realized that I think I swore before and I never checked. Adam, is it cool if we swear? You and your neighbors?
You're asking. Adam is a full-grown man, as is Carrie. And even Tucker, the 15-year-old Papillon, is, in dog years, very, very advanced. Meanwhile, yesterday, we were just swearing like sailors in front of those beautiful children, Julian and Irene.
Well, those children have potty mouths, and they taught me all of these words.
They've grown up now. Hey, we have a little update in the situation with our signs.
Yeah, I'm actually, you've been withholding. I'm interested in finding out what we know,
how's
what
it
we
feel,
don't
Andrew?
Know.
So, we rolled into Corvallis, possibly with our signs on our van. We don't remember, you know, looking at the van in the parking lot of the Holiday Inn and not seeing our signs. I feel like we would have noticed that. So our theory was when we came back from dinner and the signs were gone, they had been stolen by some, again, I assume Oregon State University beavers. You go to a school where the mascot is a beaver and you're going to internalize some real trauma.
They're wily, those beavers.
I just think they're just mad at the world. They're like, why can't we get a mascot that's not entendre filled?
Mm.
So that has sort of been our theory, but then people have been, you know, throwing it out there on Twitter and other places, Facebook. Is it possible that the magnets just flew off because, you know, we were on the freeway? Now, we had specially selected a size of magnet that was not supposed to fly off the van.
Mm-hmm.
But
and the whole thing is a magnet. Just to be very clear, I mean, you said this yesterday, but it's not like a sign that has magnets in the corners or even strips of magnets in the top and the sides. I mean, the whole thing is a magnet.
Yes, it's made out of magnets.
It is.
It is.
How does that work?
Well, that was one of the theories, by the way, that's been floated on Facebook, is it was stolen by Juggalos.
No, it could be. They
because
love
of
their
the strong magnet connection
they're
and
still trying to
their
figure
confusion
it out.
Around it.
Mm-hmm.
So. I had what I thought was a bright idea, which is to call the folks at the Holiday Inn, and because we had to drive through the like main lobby area, like where you pull into a hotel, and you know, in 21?
I think so.
In 2021, that they have security cameras, and so I called up Colby yesterday, who was very nice, the manager who has access to the security camera. She went in the back room. And she actually checked three different camera angles.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what, Andrew?
It's solved. Mystery solved. Is that, guess what?
No. None of the cameras were able to catch our van going in. Suspicious? I mean, you try to make a video of the van, you mess it up. There's no footage of our van in an area that should be under surveillance. You know, it's private property. It's a business. You think they'd want to see who's coming and going from the hotel. That seems reasonable. But then Colby shared with me a detail. Her husband drives for FedEx and has magnetic signs on his truck that regularly blow off, which I think bolsters the theory that they just blew off the van.
I am so mad. You referenced a second ago, just in case somebody doesn't remember this from yesterday.
This is you at your ugliest.
This is me at my Marge Simpson growl sound. I just had 2 seconds where I hopped out of the van on Sunday evening when you were parking it in the hotel parking lot, and it was the first time that I was outside of the van while you were driving, and I pulled out my phone really quickly. I'm like, I'll just take a video, a very quick 5 second video of the van driving past me. I framed it up. I hit go. The van drove past me. It was the perfect little video, except I didn't hit go, and it turns out I didn't get any of that footage. If I had that footage on my phone, I could tell you for sure if this sign was on the van or not in those moments we pulled up to the Holiday
Inn. Isn't it more fun not knowing? Don't you feel like it's a more interesting question? I mean, this is one of the things about modern life is that like very little is not knowable.
Mm-hmm. No,
you know,
that's
like
true.
We used to spend a lot of time just trying to figure stuff out or just maybe never getting to the bottom of it. And there's like three things left on planet Earth that aren't knowable through the internet. And one of them is, what the fuck happened to our science? I'm sorry, Adam. I had to use an adult word there.
I would love to play Iris Dement's Let the Mystery Be right now, but YouTube will kick us off
it.
The internet.
I was going to propose going out with one of those Blind Pilot songs that I was in my feelings over today, but even that... I don't know if that's going to get us in trouble. So let's just talk about this real quickly. We play music on our show a lot. We also, because we work for a media company that pays ASCAP and BMI fees, like we are under the impression that we have the rights to use at least some amount of music. And what we really, we try to be careful though. What we don't ever want to do is accidentally, make a situation where someone's less inclined to buy a song. So we never play a song by in its entirety in the clear. We always talk over the music. We play a few seconds. And we're pretty careful with that stuff. But what we forgot was, as we were getting ready for the show yesterday, when the video was on, all of you watching it on YouTube, I was playing some music. I was in particular, apparently, a Crosby, Stills, and Nash song.
Our House, I think.
Which something on YouTube got triggered. Then when we played the song at the end, that was the listener suggestion, the Dazzling Donor suggestion, I believe, by like Lab.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was called like Funk Town.
Yes.
Funkasaurus.
Yep.
Shout out to Funkasaurus, our newest listener, soon to be Dazzling Donor. Got to keep the pitch going.
Yes.
Anyway, it captured both of those songs, like the whatever YouTube algorithm. And it now, if you go back and you watch the video, the story is that the those sections of the video from yesterday's show will now be blocked, but only in some countries. And what are those countries?
And actually, also, Kiki Lolo sent me this notification we got from YouTube. I find it fascinating. So, like you said, it was that funk song or whatever. It was the Our House. Also, did you play a song called Dissolve? Does that ring a bell to you?
Yeah, Absofacto. That one got flagged, sure. So that one doesn't surprise me. That's a biggie.
And Eric, you know, Eric the Viking, Stromstedt, our engineer, he warned me after the show yesterday, like, hey, be careful with that music. You know, you could get flagged by a YouTuber, potentially, like, blocked for the rest of the week, which we can't have that. No. And then
we'll do that. Morning, we'll do that just fine on our own.
Exactly. And then Christina says, yeah, you were flagged. You're partially blocked because of these three songs. And then she said, but just so you know, you're only blocked right now in Iran, Cuba, North Korea, and Syria, which I call
the axis of no fun ski.
Right.
The axis of what?
Why did I go Polish? Why did I go the axis of no
self-hating,
fun ski?
Right? Self-hating Polish-American Andrew Walsh checking in.
Right. But,
that's so fascinating. So if we have listeners that are trying to, or I guess viewers on YouTube trying to watch yesterday's video from Iran, North Korea?
Yep.
Wait, they get YouTube in North Korea?
I don't know if they get it, but they can watch it.
Wow. And then you said Syria, and what was the other one?
Let's see. Did you say Cuba, Iran?
I didn't say Cuba.
Yeah, Iran, Cuba, North Korea, and Syria.
That's a fascinating list. I mean, think about it. Syria is run by Bashar al-Assad. He's no good. Castro, the other Castro just stepped down in Cuba. We know about the guy in North Korea. And then Iran, I mean, these are countries. My question is, did those countries get together and say, guess what, we want to have a specific policy that targets TBTL on YouTube?
I think so.
Is it possible that was part of some high-level bilateral negotiation between these various countries that tend to be run by people who are pretty bad?
Are you concerned that TBTL has potentially thrown or is throwing the U.S. into an international dispute with these countries again because they hate fun and we love fun and we're just trying to do our jobs and raise some money for TBTL?
It's a real concern. And so to avoid that, I would just like to play this, please. This is our new TBTL-a-thon 12 contentless delivery theme song. Slash dazzling donor music.
Why do you think Bad to the Bone is free?
It's instrumental. It's not by the original artist.
I see. Oh, we have a little. Okay. Okay. All right. Sure.
Take that, Iran.
Yeah.
I just think this
Block
is my theory.
This
is my theory, and I could be wrong. My theory is this song not being the original, being some obscure instrumental cover of the song, it's not going to have whatever metadata is in it that the YouTube spiders can catch.
And we're mostly talking over it, too.
I
really do think what got us in trouble was, think of the three songs.
Yes.
I heard he said in trouble. Were we in trouble? It's like me every time somebody somebody gives me a dirty look. I'm like, stop hollering at me. The three songs that were flagged by these great countries, these bastions of freedom, were songs that we played totally in the clear without really talking over them much. So I think we're probably fine.
Do you consider us freedom fighters? Like in the fact that we're pushing back against these autocratic administrations that want to stop us from playing Our House by Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
I certainly feel like we're on the right side of history here.
Thank you.
The only people who are against what we're doing are terrible countries and those damn musicians who want to get paid.
You will know them by their deeds, okay? Do you think David Crosby's hurting for cash?
Maybe. I don't know what's going on with him these days.
I think David Crosby is just fine.
He's hiding it in his mustache all the time.
You know who else is a freedom fighter?
Who's
Barbara
that?
West in San Jose, California. She's our dazzling donor today. She donated a dazzling amount of dough during the last of these TBTL-a-thon events.
In fact, I think it's okay to say this. This is probably our final dazzling donor message.
Ever.
Of this season. So these are folks who were donated at the dazzling level last year. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Luke. I don't know if I interrupted your flow there. But I just thought that was kind of special. And San Jose Barbie has been with us for a really long time as a listener of TBTL, probably even long before I was even a part of this wagon. So anyway, it's special to go out with a note from her, I think.
Yes. Thank you, Barbara, for supporting the show. She writes, thanks for still being here after all these years. During this past year of relative isolation and quarantine, it's been more important than ever to spend time with my TBTL friendos. Thanks for always being here. Well, thank you, Barbie. We really do appreciate you, and we appreciate everybody who supported TBTL again during this past year, which was obviously really pretty unprecedented for all of us. And we only got here to Adam and Carrie's house in Fortuna, California, with our little setup because of the generosity and kindness of the TBTL listeners. So if you're watching us on YouTube right now, or if you're hearing this, you know, later on, and you can head over to tbtl.net and support the show, that would be awesome. And we do have some sweet thank you gifts for folks, right?
That's right. We have the people are very jazzed, as am I. People are catching the jazziness emanating off of all of us who are excited about the sound machine.
Right,
the
which I don't have with me.
I know.
It's in my backpack. Hold on.
So we have, Luke's going to grab his now. It's a little sound effects machine with 16 buttons on it that play all kinds of TBTL drops. So, you know, as we were saying yesterday, you have been listening to TBTL for a long time. You have been
what if I just started the van and left?
Well, I guess this tarp would have come down on me. That would be one thing.
God, that'd be, you know what? Andrew, world's funniest weather. That could go viral.
Yes,
that could absolutely go
viral.
Oh,
shout out. We'll come back to the gifts in a moment here, but shout out to the listener who, I think you saw this, Luke. I don't know if it was on Facebook or Slack, but a listener is encouraging Tens to submit their funniest weather videos to America's Funniest Weather. Yeah. You showed me that at our dinner at Applebee's yesterday over a steak that even my grandfather would like.
No.
There you go.
Found
and
it.
So that is the sound machine that keeps on yelping at me from my backpack.
Dude, we were driving here and you were obviously mad at me about being late. Now I understand the subtext of our weirdly icy drive here.
Yeah, it was super icy.
We got off the freeway and your backpack literally was doing this. And I was like, hey, dude, your thing is playing my mom's voice. And And you're like, I didn't even hear it. It didn't sound like anything to me, Luke.
Because I've just gotten used to it. It's constantly going off in my bag, and that annoyance can be yours as well. Now,
next year we're gonna the next round of these are gonna have an off switch.
Yeah,
so you know,
right,
y'all.
Right, yeah. So annoy your family, annoy your pets. Get the TBTL sound machine, and of course we have this really cool cooler. It's funny to talk about a cooler. I thought the weather was gonna be warmer when we were doing this.
Here's what I think is gonna happen with this trip. It's gonna start with it being weirdly colder than we expected. Corvallis was, your like finger pins were hurting yesterday in Corvallis.
Right, yeah, right.
It's a teeny bit warmer here in Fortuna, but not a whole lot, which again, Adam and Carrie, thank you for your, and Tucker mostly, thank you for sitting out on your porch, even though it's not warm. But then I think what's going to happen is when we're in Phoenix, when we're at Mary the TBTL Virgin's house, we're going to be like, it's going to be 112 degrees, and we're going to be like, God, we got to get back to Fortuna.
Yeah,
I don't think we're – maybe Oceanside. Maybe when we see listener Lisa down in Oceanside in the greater San Diego area, that might be the only place where, like, we get kind of in the Goldilocks zone of temperature.
The sweet spot. I did bring shorts. I doubt I'll broadcast in shorts, but I did bring a pair of shorts that I could wear if temperatures get really hot. I'll just say also we have some great –
I'm willing to show a little leg, too, if that drives the donations
over
to
whatever it takes.
Show less leg if that drives the donation, whatever.
We have some cool little pins created by our friend, the artist Gigi, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is the third year in a row we're giving away those, so collect them all, as the kids say. And, oh, I'd like to clear something up, too. We had mentioned that just before we got on our van adventure yesterday or the day before, you, me, Genevieve, and your brother David from the basement recorded, what are you calling it, a riff track?
Well, that's not my name for that. That's the thing, you know, Mystery Science Theater and these other kind of Mystery Science Theater spinoffs, they've been doing that for years. That's the whole thing. And I guess they call it a riff track.
Genevieve taught you that, right?
Well, the internet tipped me off to it, but then I didn't know what riff track referred to. And then Genevieve said, oh, it's a riff track. So in other words, I've been seeing hashtag riff track bounce around Twitter for a long time because, again, lots of other people have been doing it. But I never knew what that's what it referred to. But that's basically what we just made.
Right. And people are saying, hey, how can I get my ears around that like right now? And it is being processed right now. So it is recorded. It's in the can. But we, with the help of Kiki Lolo, are kind of, you know, people say efforting it? We're efforting it. That's one of those words that I hate so much, like a made-up word. But like, I hate it so much that it's kind of like, it's like when you have a sore in your mouth or something inside your cheek and you keep poking
it with
your thing.
It's a weird place to take it, but okay.
You know, like when you're just like, your flesh is just like ripped out of your mouth and it's just like you're bloody and it's just like you're, you can't,
I know what that
you
like.
Try to talk, but like spittle and blood is coming out. You know that?
That's how my heart feels when you chastise me for being late.
And you can't, you're obsessed with this lateness thing. You were saying, you were implying that it was my fault that we were off to a late start because I prioritized the video in the wrong way. And I'm just saying
it takes
that
so
maybe
little to trigger you.
Anyway, what was I saying? Anyway,
you're saying
we're
you
efforting.
Have bloody
we're
wound
online.
In
yeah.
your mouth.
Yeah.
I'm joking. Okay. Was that all of the thank you gifts?
Anyway, we're going to get that track out to you soon. And one thing that I did want to mention is kind of, you know, as we talk about the TB Telethon and people donating, we're seeing the beauty that we often see at this stage of the fundraisers, which is not just people talking about how much they love TBTL, but like kind of coordinating and creating their own efforts online and finding ways. And it is so special. People are doing all kinds of interesting things on Facebook and on the Slack channel saying, hey, is there anything else I can do to maybe help support the show for people who can't afford it right now? Obviously, we're coming out of a pandemic and some people are in some tight places. And it's just like one of those things where, again, not to get overly sentimental or emotional about it, but it's like we're at that phase where it's hard to not get verklempt, is that, am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Seeing kind of everybody kind of come together for a purpose and come together for each other.
Majorly. Like, I am not on Facebook usually, but this week, because I'm on the Stens page, just seeing everybody talking to each other and trading funny jokes and getting each other's backs and answering questions. I say this all year long, that the Tens community is an incredible place, but it isn't until I'm actually like on the Stens page, really like witnessing it.
Yeah. And
day
you're back
by
in
day.
That now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so life affirming. And you have like listeners like, I think it's Elisa Adelson, who has made this very cool like TBTL hot dog art, which she's auctioning off. I believe it's a painting. It's also, I don't know, for people that are watching this on YouTube, you might be able to see behind us, we have some coloring projects that Irene and Julian did, and those were created by Elisa. And if you go to elisaadelson.com, you can bid on this cool hot dog like painting, which also has TBTL worked into it. And all the proceeds from that are going to go to the TBTL-a-thon. So people are just like coming up with creative ways or using their talents to come up with creative ways to kind of support this thing and keep it going.
Yeah, it's really sweet. Thank you, everybody, so much.
Also, if you are somebody who has the kind of job where you have a shared calendar and you want to block out some time for this week, because we have, you know, we got three more of these. By that I mean YouTube sessions. We're going to be broadcasting live at 10 a.m. every day on YouTube. Listener Rob came up with a pretty clever hack for this. What did he do?
He put something on his shared like Outlook calendar that said something along the lines of, I am in a conference regarding live podcast broadcasting. He did it in some sort of corporate speak that made it sound like, oh, no, I'm efforting the future here.
So that's just like a pro tip. If you work in an environment where people are sort of aware of what your schedule is, but you definitely want to like block out an hour to 2 hours to watch this week, just
right. You don't have to say listening to a podcast or watching a podcast. You can say, you know, researching the future of new media.
Possibly. There you go.
Yes.
Yes. Hashtag
webinar.
Do we call it webinars anywhere? I love that.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
All right, we've talked a lot about viral videos on this show. We've talked a lot about NFTs, but now these two worlds are colliding because the Charlie That Hurt Kid. That video will be deleted from YouTube soon because it has been sold as an NFT for $760,000, Andrew.
Well, I saw this bouncing around. You won't be surprised to know that I haven't looked into the details. Who bought this? Who do we have to suck
up to? It does not say. It does not say. It just says that the family, by the way, their last name is Davies Carr. They said that they would auction off the Charlie Bit My Fingers NFT. And the winner will be the sole owner of this lovable piece of internet history. According to the auction site, In addition to owning the soon-to-be-deleted YouTube phenomenon, the buyer also gets to have the opportunity to create their own parody video featuring the original stars, Harry and Charlie. Now, this is where I don't want to be mean.
I'll be mean. What do you want to be mean about? I'll be mean about it for you.
This I rewatched the video last night again. I felt like a real limited time offer,
yeah,
which is
right,
hilarious.
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh, will it still be on YouTube? And
right,
like it was.
And I think I have that audio too, and
okay,
on my
good
computer. So if one of us,
yeah,
one
give
of
it
us
to me. Will you give it to me on a thumb drive, and I'll put it in that special hiding place in my apartment.
Yeah, that's right.
Where I was hiding. Like how many years of TVTL did you give me?
Oh yeah,
day?
Yeah. Like well, everything from your very first radio show up until I think like maybe June of 2020, I had in a hard drive to give to you in case, like, I have backup copies at my place, too, but I was like, yeah, but what if something happens to my place? There goes the history of TVTL.
I so appreciate you doing that, and I don't want to say where, because I don't want people ransacking my house. By the way, Cheryl yesterday in Corvallis said, we all know what floor of the apartment building you live on.
Oh,
like,
you,
and I was
in,
like,
in
how?
Portland,
she goes, because
yeah,
you said it.
Yeah, right.
Which I guess
oh,
was kind of a dead giveaway.
You cracked the code,
God,
Cheryl.
Way to dox me. But I don't want people to break into my apartment and try to steal 12 to 13 years of TBTL history, but let's just say I have it in a very secure location in my apartment.
I will say a cinematically secure location.
Well, now you're giving away.
Okay,
hints.
I have it. Okay, sorry.
It's in a VHS tape from Blockbuster.
If you pull a book out of a bookshelf,
yes,
an entire wall flips around.
Yeah. Anyway, I was watching this last night and feeling like I was getting away with something. But also I was struck by it. So I hadn't watched the full video in a long time. And it's very cute. I mean, what's really cute about it is, you know, the kid, the Charlie, you bit my finger. But then it's the response from the little brother, the kid who's doing the biting. It's just he's got this mm-hmm mischievous look. Do you go with mm-hmm mischievous or mischievous?
Ooh, I kind of like them both. It yeah probably depends on my mood.
What
let's
do you do, Adam?
Now.
Is it mischievous or mischievous? Mischievous.
That is probably the more
Carrie?
Fun way.
I agree with Adam.
Tucker? Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well,
families.
He has to. Yep. He wants to keep getting fed. So, like, it's the mischievous look on this little kid's face, which is really adorable. But also, when you look at the YouTube video, it links to, like, a bunch of other videos of them, like, 10 years later,
mm-hmm,
doing interviews about it. And, like, no offense, you're not little cute tykes
right,
anymore.
Right,
I mean,
right,
they're, I'm sure they're lovely 16-year-olds now or 20-year-olds
mm-hmm
or whatever they are, but it's like the idea that part of this $760,000 is you also get to, if you'd like to, make a parody video with, like, let's be honest, some kind of hormonal, awkward-looking 18-year-olds. It's not doesn't seem like a huge draw to me. Like, you guys had a moment. You were cute. I know this as a former cute person. There's a window.
Do you think Charlie bought it? Like, this whole thing, like, do you think Charlie's like, I will buy this, I will have the rights to it, and now I will control
it.
Right, exactly. I'm trying to think who would be more likely. We don't
somebody
know
$760,000.
And we don't know the name of the kid who is saying, I only know the name Charlie because it's in the actual audio, so I don't know who the other kid
Harry
is. Harry. So it could have been Charlie or Harry. Are these
90%,
is this the royal family?
I was going to say 90% of the British male children are named Harry, it turns out. Yeah, also, I have to be honest, with all the talk of NFT that we've done on this show and all, like, many hours that I've tried to understand it, I still don't fully get it. So the person who bought this, so, okay, fine, they'll delete it from YouTube, but you and I could right now just download it from YouTube, right?
Yeah.
And we have the audio. There are programs that let you, you know, grab and download YouTube videos. So, like, right now, you and I could go download the video, and granted, it wouldn't be the original, I guess, but it would, you know, be pretty close. And then, like, the person who paid $760,000 for this, I guess it's just bragging rights?
And also, I mean, listen, I will be the first one to say that I am confused by all of this, potentially the most confused by all of this, and I don't know what I'm talking about. But it also does seem like this whole conversation about what an NFT means seems to be slipping and sliding all over the place, because originally the NFT was, well, it's just a way of making a piece of digital media unique. In other words, you can own it. So yeah, maybe you can watch some copy of Charlie Bit My Finger and you can enjoy it just as much, but somewhere somebody has the pride of owning a piece of sort of unique art by putting
right
the stamp on it. But now they're entering this thing that you were just talking about, saying, oh, and that means you have the rights to parody it. It would never occur to me that these NFTs had
right
anything to do with, like, rights beyond the actual stamp of the, you know, Bitcoin-esque thing on it. Like,
you know
what,
who they're working with? Huh. Iran,
yeah.
Syria,
yes.
Cuba, and North Korea. The same people trying to bring this show down.
The Axis of No Fun.
Thank you. I do think that's a good show title, by the way. That's really growing.
Oh, can I also say in the chat, I believe it was our buddy the Stewbot who suggested the show title, That's Fortuna, bro.
Not How bad. Did I not? What is wrong with me, Andrew? That is a missed opportunity if ever there was
How
one.
How is that not an NFT? How is the right. Boston
now
Fisherman
clip I mean,
not an
yeah,
NFT?
No offense to Harry and Charlie, but like...
That's a tuna, bro.
That's
Fortuna,
is a bro.
Vastly... Okay, we're going with... Thank you, Stu.
Still helping the show.
Appreciate it. We still need the donation, though. That's not an in-kind donation, even though it's a very good idea, and it will be the name of today's episode. I am wondering, though, will we reach a point, since we're here this week trying to raise money for the show and keep things going, do you think next year we'll be offering a TBTL NFT?
That is just in the back of my head, too, as
like
we were saying that.
We're
I was like,
kind of like dragging it as an idea, and yet I do think that, I mean, I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Will we offer people the exclusive chance to do a parody of TBTL?
That's right. Nobody do any parodies of TBTL at all until you get our permission. I'm not, and again, just caveats galore. Like, I don't know what the
Ooh,
hell
that's also
I'm talking
a good show
about.
Title.
Wasn't that a 007 movie? I don't want to say that whatever is happening in the culture and the economy right now with NFTs, that it's not going to have any kind of play in the future. But I have a strong feeling that whatever we're seeing now is sort of a pupa phase of this. I just don't think that like 5 years from now, this idea of NFTs are going to be what we think of as an NFT now. It might be like a building block for something else. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Because like, I can't really explain what I'm talking
about.
Well,
I like this idea that it's like, you know, stereoscopic photography or something.
Mm-hmm, right.
Like, there was a time when it was like they didn't have moving pictures, but they had like some things that, you know, were basically like a what do you call the little...
Stereopticon?
No, but the little consumer ones that were red.
Oh, a viewfinder.
Viewmaster.
Or Viewmaster, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Back in the olden days, like before movies, they had something that was movie-esque, and they were probably thinking, well, this is... as cool as this gets.
Yeah, right.
I'm looking through these goggles and I'm seeing something that looks kind of three-dimensional, like it's kind of moving or whatever. And then, 10 years later, it's like, oh, no, wait, we have moving. Stereoscopic photography, movies called, we win, you know? So
right,
is that going to maybe
right.
happen with NFTs? Like, right now what we think of as being this, like, cool, very exclusive blockchain-y thing, there's just going to be a way more interesting version that comes along in 10 years, and these ones are going to seem kind of antiquated.
They're the Cosmo. Is that what that delivery service was? They're the Cosmo.
Who knew that Cosmo would have such a resurgence on TBTL over this? If we were going to do an NFT, what could we offer that could be the, like, somebody could buy and then be the exclusive owner of?
Splooch the Turtle.
How do we do that? Because that, I you said something... Since this is like a very, even more than normal, self-referential week for the show, very navel-gazy, you said something the other day when we were like driving down here, and it was about Splooch. And we were talking about this week and what we want to do and how we want to like see some folks out here in the world, but do it from a safe distance and also try to really reinforce this idea and remind everyone of the TBTL community, et cetera, et cetera. And we were trying to think, what's the best way to do these shows this week? And I was talking about Australia or something. You said, well, you know, we went to Australia ostensibly to go to that bar where the dude disappeared from. Mm-hmm. But really what we found was Splooch the Turtle.
Right, right.
Which was a totally random moment where, like, you came out of a bathroom at a rest stop or a gas station in the Northern Territory. And no one will remember the show we did from Larimer. Mm-hmm. No one will remember the show we did from Larry the Lobster. Nobody will remember... anything from that trip except for Splooch the Turtle.
right. But without Larimer, there's no Splooch. I mean, I've said it a million times.
I
have it tattooed on my back.
That's good for me to remember because I think I get a little anxious.
Uh-huh.
I know this would be shocking to the people watching this and listening to this, that I feel anxious about this because it just seems like you're just talking to your friend here. But it does give me a certain amount of agita, and it's good for me to remember that, like, we'll do all this stuff, but there will just be some random moment that will end up being entertaining to us and the listeners. And hopefully that's, you know, what keeps people engaged in the show. I guess critically, the question, Adam, is do you have any hilarious signs in your bathroom?
that we can like take a picture of and laugh about?
No. Could you draw one? How quick can you draw a turtle that has diarrhea? We've already done that one. Another something else.
We need something new. We need something new.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we'll keep thinking about NFTs, and maybe next year we'll have something like that. Although I feel like also we offered the original NFTs when we would like. I can't think of an example, but there were things that we would either give away or I don't think we ever auctioned anything off. But like stuff that's physical and tangible from the show, like I wish I could think of a good example.
I have an example. I think. Well, this isn't something that we've given away. And again, this is me. Oh no, is that one of our tees on TBT on our beautiful TBTL banner is flipped? Did you see that happen? I didn't even notice it happened. But
that's an NFT.
That's
picture
right.
of
that's right.
TBTL on YouTube with the tee flipped up.
That's it. That moment. Yeah. That moment. We've never done anything with this, but like I have. I'm almost embarrassed to say this because it's like it's overvaluing our worth maybe in a way. But there was a time when I thought it'd be a kind of a funny spoof if because we were with American Public Media and they were concerned about us using show pics on the website that were copyrighted for a while. Do you remember we just started drawing doodles? Like
yes.
After the show, I'd be like, okay, do you want to draw one of your Garfield, a.k.a.
Fargield. Yeah, right.
drawings, and we would
take
use that as
David
a show
Crosby.
Pic. And then I would draw these little like stick figure drawings, like recreating scenes and stuff. And I kept them all. And what I would do is we would draw them in a little notebook. I would take a photo of it, and then use that photo of the drawing as the show pic. Well, I still have one of those little notebooks with probably about 20 or to 25 little drawings in. And I always think like, well, there's only one of these. It's like a TBTL thing. Someday we could maybe like you know maybe we bestow that on somebody, but then I start thinking like I'm bestowing these crappy drawings on somebody. Who the hell do I think
told you
I am?
My big plan was for us to bestow our signs on some people.
Right. Well, somebody bestowed them themselves.
Somebody bestowed them.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week I hope that it's from a female. Oh man. It's not from a female.
All right, any emails or V-mails that you'd like to share with the folks both on YouTube. Is anybody watching this on YouTube?
Yeah, I saw. I don't have data in front of me right now, but
us?
I see there's a very vigorous. There's a very
turgid. there's a very erotic.
There's a very erotic conversation going on in
no,
the comment
don't.
Section on YouTube.
That's the history
right now.
Of the Stens is
people were already asking where the
vacuum guy is. Hopefully
yeah.
in hell. We used to have for people that are very new to the show, which might be one or two of you. Probably Tucker the Papillon. We for a while, like the origin story of the Stens is that we used to put the show on, stream it live every day, and use this program called Stickam. And there was a guy that I don't think was a TBTL listener, but who would just bomb into the Stickam comment section, having at himself with a vacuum cleaner.
That's right. It was
very, very upsetting for all of us.
And
I would just be hosting away with no idea. I mean, these are many times where I'm just in there by myself, Andrew. I'm just talking.
Yeah.
And then I'm just talking, playing, you know, unlicensed music from Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Starting international incidents.
And then all of a sudden, I would just see on the side a flurry of activity.
Uh-huh.
They'd be like, vacuum guy's here. Somebody get him out of here.
Did you ever have eyes on vacuum guy? Did you see the act?
And I can't unsee it. It was
that's
really
your NFT.
Something. There you go.
Hey, we were just talking about Cosmo a second ago. This was a 1990s kind of delivery service that you were telling me about the other day on the show. I had never heard about this before, but you could like rent DVDs and they would be delivered. It was like I think you described it, or maybe this listener, Zach, describes it as like a combination of a Blockbuster and a 7-Eleven. Those were the types of things you could get delivered at, you know, on Cosmo. And it started off, as you said, as a bicycle delivery service.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, you know, well, here we are doing contentless delivery. Contactless delivery is huge these days. And this was, you know, a harbinger of things to come, but it was just timed incorrectly. But we got this voicemail from listener Zach, who actually worked for Cosmo. Take a listen to this. Yeah, this is good.
Hey guys, this is Zach and Olivia. Luke just mentioned Cosmo.com, that delivery service back in the 90s, and I actually worked for them for a minute back in 99. It was during the internet boom, and I was living in the Kirtland Bellevue area for college, and they did initially start up in New York as a bike delivery service and then expanded into Seattle. They had an office up on Capitol Hill, But when they went into the east side, of course, you needed cars out there. So I was getting paid $15 an hour in 1999. Wow.
That's not bad.
Which is pretty good money to drive my own vehicle. It was 40 hours a week from 4 p.m. to midnight. And I would show up and check in, and then I would be moved to the top of the list for a delivery, come back from that delivery, and then probably wait another hour and a half or 2 hours before I had to go back out again. And so everyone was just hanging out in the warehouse, playing PlayStation, watching movies, goofing around. And the reason they failed was, I guess, pretty obvious at the time. They were basically a 7-Eleven and a Blockbuster combined, but they warehoused all their own stuff. And the delivery, there was no delivery fee. So, you know, every time somebody bought like a $5 pint of Ben and Jerry's, I would go drive that out. It might take me half an hour to bring it out there. And I'm getting paid $15 an hour to deliver a $5, you know, pint of ice cream or a magazine or something. So eventually got laid off. And then a couple of months later, they closed down. So, all right, guys, have a good trip in your van. Looking forward to hearing about your adventures.
Bye. So that's why it didn't work out.
It's weirdly reassuring for me to learn that it was as bad of a business model as I thought it was. Because I have no head for business, which is why I'm here in Fortuna, California,
begging for money
on the internet. This is not where your life ends up if you are savvy at business. So much of the time, I've told the story many, many times on the show, but not that far from here in Northern California, I was in Sonoma. I was at this big wig thing, and this guy was telling me about this new website he'd started about messages, and you know, and I was listening to him describe it, and they could only be a certain length, and I thought, this guy is a moron. And it was Twitter that he had invented, this guy Biz Stone. So that's kind of, those are my instincts. So I would have also believed somebody who said, well, you don't understand, Cosmo.com, it was meant to lose money because then it positioned them better for this, that, and the other. No, it just sounds like it was kind of a terrible idea.
On the other hand, Amazon went years and years and years and years without turning a profit, too. So it did work for them. Also, though, I mean, I guess good on them for paying a good wage, you know? I mean, we want companies to be paying a good wage. I'm going to play another voicemail from you here. Okay. This is from our pal Juliet out in Boston. And this one, I will say, it is a little wistful.
Uh-oh.
She was going through kind of a big life moment recently and thinking about TBTL.
Hey, dummies.
It's not that wistful.
This is Juliet in Boston, and I just was feeling really grateful for TBTL recently and thought I'd let you know. Today's my last day at my job, which is kind of bittersweet. My contract is up, and it's fine, and I'm excited to, you know, have a summer off for a little bit and then probably go to grad school in the fall, but I'm just feeling kind of emotional, and I'm at my office alone dropping off some things and like wrapping up a couple of loose ends, and I don't know, was feeling sad about being in the office alone, and then I turned on a random episode of TBTL from like a couple of months ago because I'm all caught up, and it's just really helped to like have some voices and friends with me here in the office. So just wanted to say thank you. Okay. Goodbye.
First of all, I think I might have called Juliet Julia at the beginning of that. My apologies if I did that. My sister-in-law's name is Julia. But speaking of, like, that really moved me to think that that is kind of somebody's relationship with this show, not just, like, the constant, like, kind of daily companionship that I have maybe, like, with other shows that I listen to, but just, like, to go back in the archives and be like, I'm going to see what my buds were up to, just listen to it again. Like, that really means a lot to me. And just kind of coincidentally, you know, Juliet has been a longtime listener of the show, as has her sister Catherine. Who we met at the picnic.
Oh, the twins.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just kind of, and Catherine had sent an email related to the TBTL-a-thon yesterday, and I was responding to some emails. And I was just like, you know, I just got this voicemail from your sister, and like, it really does feel like a family, you know? And they're literally a family, and they feel like our family too, and it's really special. So thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it turns out that there is at least some value for folks to just kind of hanging out with people.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what's crazy about doing these trips with you, Andrew, is you and I will wrap this up pretty soon, actually. We will get in the van. We have like a 5-hour drive to Sacramento. And we will just spend the whole time just talking like we're doing the show. Like, we were trying to listen to a podcast yesterday. You're trying to play this comedy bang bang for me, which we eventually got to. But we drove like 6.5 hours yesterday after we had been talking both on the air and off the air for probably 5 hours from when we got up Monday morning to when we got in the van to drive here to Fortuna, or really Eureka. And somehow we hadn't talked enough.
Mm-hmm.
And we just continue. Like, it's like, I think that we're really lucky that our friendship and our kind of way of just relating to each other, and I guess our way of relating to the listeners and the listeners' ways of relating to each other in the TENS community, has created this kind of like weird thing that is very comforting to folks. And people will be, as we just learned from Juliet, they'll be just like having a moment out of context from TBTL, like at their job, cleaning up their desk, and they just kind of want to like hear something that sounds familiar and sounds like they're co-bros, and they put TBTL on. Like, that is like one of the biggest honors that we can have.
Yeah, and again, because there are things in my life, I was listening to a podcast kind of late last night. You and I had a lot of work to do after dinner, and I told you this in the van earlier today. I was like kind of all jazzed up, and it was all good stuff. I was in a really good mood, but I was also looking at the clock and realizing it's getting really late. I need to go to bed. Tomorrow's going to be an early day.
Well, not as early as you expected, but
I almost
let's
didn't
not
say
bring
it.
That up.
It was going to be an early day for some of us. No. But I
we get it. You have to shit. We get it. You've been holding it in the whole show.
Honestly, my only regret is bringing that up. I don't even regret anything about you. My only regret is I knew I shouldn't have said that.
How much TP do you have in there, Adam?
It's gonna
plenty.
Get messy.
Carrie, thank you. We're getting
it
thumbs up on
get
that.
Messy. No, but sploooch indeed. Was okay. So it was late last night. I got done with my work, but I was still in kind of like, I was just kind of in hyperactive mode. You know, I knew I couldn't just like quit my work and go to sleep right away. So I put on one of the podcasts that I listen to that is like my companionship podcast. And I don't mind telling you, it's our buddy Beans podcast.
Oh,
that
sure.
does with Allie. And I
cup
just
cup of tea in a chat.
Yes. And I just needed that. I just put on my headphones and I puttered around a little bit and I ironed a shirt that didn't need to be ironed. And that was my way of kind of centering myself. And it's just like it was and relaxing and doing it so I can associate. And so I know we say this a lot, and I'm probably feeding a live horse here. How do we say that?
Feeding a fed horse.
I'm feeding a fed horse. Okay. I knew feeding a live horse was not right. I'm feeding a fed horse here, but I know those moments. I've had those moments with radio and podcasts my whole life, and knowing that we are providing those moments is almost overwhelming to me.
I know. We're super lucky. I referenced this yesterday on the show, but you looked over at some point and were like, typical Monday stuff. Like,
right.
The fact that we get to do this and come hang out and do the show for folks in their front yard, that this is our job, is like a pretty lucky thing. And it's only because of people out there listening to this and watching it on YouTube. So thanks, everyone. And again, if it's something that you find is valuable in your life and you want to go to tbtl.net and help keep it going, that would be totally awesome. All right, we should wrap things up.
How?
Well, that's the thing. Okay, I've got some options here. We've already heard Bad to the Bone instrumental, which I don't know. Did YouTube cancel it? I guess they wouldn't know. Probably won't be for a few hours until they'll catch us.
Right, yeah.
I've got something called, let's see, damn it. Well, no, that. Let's see. How about...
Should we sing something a cappella? Are there any songs that you and I both know?
God, all I know is Our House by Crosby. You light the fire. I forget the rest of the words.
Goodbye, North Korea.
Or do we just roll the dice and we just do Words by Doves and just be the bad boys of public radio podcasting?
I'll tell you what. Get that rolling, my boy, in the background. You have it there. Get it rolling.
We're going to talk over
way
it.
In the background. We're going to talk over it. I'm not going to leave very much of it in the clear at all, okay? So, am I putting you on the spot? Do you have access to it?
I've got it right here.
It's
playing. It's playing. It's happening.
Right, nice. Okay.
Hey, I want to say thanks also to Eric Stromstad.
Big
Who
time.
Has now saved our bacon 2 days in a row per use. Also, Emily Kittleson and Sarah Van Dusseldorp are dear friends and colleagues who have been putting together all of these thank you gifts and keeping in touch with everybody who's donating and considering donating, et cetera. Also, Christina Lopez has been doing a ton of digital stuff in the background and making sure that this thing gets on various media platforms. So thanks to everybody at APM who's helping us do this. We would not be able to pull this off without them either, or you, the tens of listeners who are donating. And also a big thanks to Adam and Carrie and Tucker for letting us come set up in their front yard. I feel like we made a low impact. I don't. You guys, you're probably not going to get in too much neighbor trouble for this. Everything's cool. Yeah. The worst thing is they probably think it's a taco truck and they're excited. Mm-hmm. And they learn it's just a podcast truck. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. I will be right back here tomorrow from Sacramento, California. Lord willing, and if the Delica makes it, we'll see you then. Until then, have a great Tuesday. Stay safe. Take care of each other. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.